What does he teach? Does he teach the Bible? Does he teach things that run people off from church? There's an awful lot of politically correct preachers in this day. I guess there always have been. But some things, some preachers will not mention because it's going to hurt somebody's feeling or run somebody off. Have you thought about all the stories you've read in the Old Testament, how unpopular God's faithful prophets were?
That's right.
Some of them got killed. Quite a few of them got killed. Just because they gave God's message, what he wanted given, and it wasn't what the king wanted to hear, it wasn't what the people wanted to hear. And so they were very unpopular, and sometimes they just they lost their life because of what they did.
Right.
Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Well, we understand that. That's pretty clear. If I'm going to go fight for you, you pay my salary. Right. You give me my ammunition, my gun, take care of me, and I'll go fight for you. Okay? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof?
Right.
Who in the world would go to the trouble to build a big garden, dig it all up, plow it all up, plant it, weed it, water it, and then you couldn't get to eat anything out of it? No, what? Why do you plant a garden? To get the fruit. So that the fruit's going to come out of it, and you're going to enjoy those fresh tomatoes. You're going to enjoy those fresh peaches and apples and pears grown on your own tree. There's a lot of work in a garden. If you've never done one, why, you just don't understand how much work it really is. It's amazing how fast the weeds grow. They grow faster than the fruit. You got to really stay after them. And the weeds will actually suck everything out of the ground. If you don't get the weeds out of there, you're not going to get very good fruit. So who plants a garden or a vineyard or whatever and doesn't plan to eat the fruit of it?
Right.
Well, we know that's just simple understanding. That's what they're going to do. Who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Who's going to go to the trouble to take care of a flock? Sheep? Cows? Do you know all that stuff is work? Every bit of it is. You don't just turn them loose and no problem. You get a hole in your fence and you spend 2 or 3 days chasing them down. You put them in a trailer to take them somewhere to do something with them, and they jump out of the trailer and get in somebody else's field. Try to deal with all these animals. They're a mess. Well, why would you do it if there wasn't any profit in it for you? So he's talking about that, and he's talking that about preachers. Preachers ought to be receiving a blessing from their work.
Amen.
Okay. Now verse 8. Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? He said, now this is my opinion as a man. Okay. This is what I think about the ministry and how it should be related to the church. And that if you have a good minister, then the church should support him. And should take care of him well. He said, or saith not the law the same also? Now we're looking back into the Old Testament here. And he says, the law says this. Well, where does the law say that? Well, look at verse 9. It is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Do you think God's taking care of oxen? Do you think God's really on the side of these people that got these little dogs on television and saying, why did they hurt me? Why are they mad at me? Those animals don't think that. That's human things they're putting into the minds there. I'm not for hurting any animals, but come on. Think about it a little bit. Yes, They're sweet and they look good, but they're raising money. Yeah. And they're using your human emotions to do it.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not muzzle the ox, the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Well, it does seem like a sort of a an unfair, unjust thing that you got this oxen and he's going round and round and taking this wheel with him and breaking up all this corn, shelling all this corn, crushing all this corn, making cornmeal out of it or flour. And you got a muzzle on him so he can't eat. He's got all that food right in front of him and he just all day long, he doesn't have a chance to eat. Well, that does sound bad. That is pretty bad. And he said, is he saying this because he cares for the oxen? Well, now some people say, yes, God's taking care of the oxen. And he is. But he's not saying that for that reason. What he's saying, it all together for our sake. He's trying to teach the church something. And he's talking about his pastors. Does God take care for oxen? Or saith it all together for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written. That he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. And then he comes down with a simple explanation, and this is the teaching. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? What do you value? Do you value spiritual truth? How much do you value it? How much do most churches value it?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you value money? We all value money. Mm-hmm. Don't we?
Yeah.
Generally speaking, what job you get is because of the amount of money they're going to pay you. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to change jobs, you'll change jobs when somebody will give you a lot more money. By the way, that happens in churches too. Very seldom does a pastor get called to a church that pays him less money. Most pastors feel a definite call to move to another town if the salary's right. That's the truth. Now, I'm not sure God always calls that way. But I know that that's pretty good marker if you're looking for why somebody gets a certain pastor. And he's built this one church up. Well, some bigger church down the road says, we'll give you twice as much. Well, I feel a definite call. I prayed about it. I believe I need to go to Fort Worth or something like that. I just felt I was called here and I'm still here and you haven't got rid of me yet. And you ain't never paid me what I'm worth. In my humble opinion. If we've sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. How much do you value the one or the other? How much do you value knowing what the Bible says? How much do you value having truth? How much do you value having somebody that will stand up to you? Didn't get many amens on that, but you know how much that's worth? It's worth more than money. Worth more than money. But most of us value our money, and we're really careful with our money, and we're pretty loose with our doctrine. Pretty loose with our life. Oh, watch out about that money, but loose with our life. He says, if I have sown unto you, or we as pastors have sown unto you, spiritual truth, how much value is it to go to bed at night and know you're saved and will never be lost?
Amen.
You've been taught that.
Yeah.
Taught it from the Bible.
Amen.
Backed it up, defended it. That's worth more than any kind of money I can think of. So what he's saying is, what about the value of these two different things you're talking about? Money, doctrine. Money, truth. Money, peace. So we're looking at two different things here. Money and a good preacher that teaches you truth. I'm thankful for good teachers. I'm thankful for people who stand by the Word of God. By the way, you don't just get this. You have to do some studying when you teach this Bible.
That's right.
There are a lot of traps in this book. There are a lot of things that just saying you believe the Bible doesn't mean a whole lot. We got to know what you believe about the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
What you think the Bible teaches. You don't reckon that in this town, thousands of churches this day, there are a lot of different things being taught from this same Bible? Well, there's just some places I wouldn't want to be. I'd have a hard time sitting there week after week. Because I've been taught some things some other people have never even seen. It never dawned on them. And then some of them really don't like. So he's saying when you're coming down to these things, we got two things of value here. We got money, salaries, food, respect, and we got doctrine and peace and knowledge of the Word of God and knowledge of God Himself. What do you value? Is it any great thing that you pay somebody that's really blessed you spiritually and you pay them a good salary? No, it ought to be.
That's right.
It ought to be. If you have a good pastor or pastors, you ought to pay them well. Believe me, they're scarce.
That's right.
That's not every pastor.
That's right.
That's not every preacher that comes out of college and he's going to be a preacher. That's not every fellow that hangs out a shingle and says, we're starting a church right here. If you've got good ones, take care of them.
Amen.
Respect them.
Amen.
Well, they were disrespecting Paul. And as far as I'm concerned, he's about as good as you can get. And disrespecting him shows you don't value the right things. If you're worried about him getting a few offerings, and you think, well, he's not a very good preacher because he makes tents, well, you maybe not have things in the right perspective. Verse 12, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. What's Paul's purpose? I don't want to hinder the gospel. I want to preach the gospel free. I don't want you to have an excuse to come back and say, all you're doing this for is money. Down in Mexico, sometimes some of the critics down there would choose our missionaries. You're just doing this for money. If they knew how little money our missionaries get for what they do and the stuff they put up with and how much more money they could have made just having a regular job back here. That makes me mad sometimes. Some people are just stupid. I know that's a real bad word in Spanish and I use it all the time. They're still stupid. I'm not politically correct. Sorry about that. I know some of you just cringe. I apologize. He said, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. You know, the number one thing we want people to get saved. Why do we put out the money we put out, about $350,000 a year, just on missions? Why do you put that much money out? What return does it give this church? No monetary. And by the way, we're sending some of our best witnesses and preachers and teachers out away from us. We don't have their offerings coming back in. We don't have their help in the street meetings. We don't have their help around here. Our good soul winners, our good door knockers, our good preachers, we send them out so that we're less. It's that people get saved.
Amen.
That somebody hears the gospel that would never have heard it otherwise.
Amen.
Just this, a couple of months ago, I got an email from a good friend of mine in Guatemala. I was a missionary in Guatemala for 3 years. And one of the first people I led to the Lord was a young Guatemalan about 17 years old, Cesar Adan Herrera Piedra Santa. Cesar for short. His horse got away from him. And Eddie and Billy were 11 and 12. And they caught his horse and brought him to him. Well, he wanted to come by and brag on my boys, what fine boys my boys were. And Guatemala was just covered with communism. And they were killing people every day. We were under martial law most of the time I was there. I didn't know a communist from a Guatemalan. I couldn't tell the difference. They all look alike to me. They're generally smallish men. And the soldiers were young. They didn't look like they were 13 or 14, but they got a submachine gun sitting out there on the road. That's authority enough for me. They say, "Stop it." And I say, "Yes, sir." So I hired Cesar just to go with me. He grew up there. He knows, you know, who's bad and who's not bad. And we went everywhere. And I had a PA system on my pickup. I could go out in the fields and preach to the Mayan Indians. And we just drove all over. We preached. After a while, he'd say, "I can do that." "Can you? Well, here's the microphone." I got a guitar. I'm hurting my fingers because I didn't have any calluses. I'm not all that musical. And bless his heart, I guess I hurt his ears. And he said, "Brother Kincaid, I can do that." Sure enough, he just started taking that guitar and playing it. "I bought me an accordion." He says, "I can do that." In a short time, he got saved. Because he's hearing me preaching the gospel every day. He's asking me questions. He's saying what he can do. "I can do that. I can do that." Anyway, I just got a letter from him. He's in his 60s now. And he's still preaching. He's got a church in Guatemala City now. And told me about his family. Got 3 children. And of course, they're grown. But he's still there.
Amen.
Because I went there 30-something years ago.
Amen.
Almost 40 years ago. I went to Guatemala and I led a young man to the Lord. And that guy's been preaching since he was 17. He's in his 60s, maybe 61. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. That's what we do it for. That's why these guys went to Mexico, not to stay there for a lifetime. They went there to get some of Mexicans that they'll preach the gospel to their own people.
Yeah.
They'll do a better job than we will.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Just got to get a hold of them, let them get the vision, get them some truth and some doctrine. That's what Paul's saying here.
Yeah.
It's for the gospel.
Yeah.
Lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And there's another reason here. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? They which wait at the altar, partakers with the altar? Do you know what happens to all that beef and goat and sheep that's sacrificed in the temple?
That's right.
It's priest food.
That's right.
The priest ate it. They shed that blood. They put it on the altar. What do you do with all of that meat? It's priest families that eat it. That was the priest offerings. What you gave to the Lord went to the priests. And he said that's the way it's supposed to be. Even so, look at verse 14, hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. I do not mind giving good offerings to preachers of the gospel.
Amen.
I'm very happy if somebody comes through here and holds a revival meeting for us and he gets $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. Some of you say, oh, that much money. Well, how long has he gone without a good offering?
Yeah.
First off. How many bills does he have right now that he can't pay? I don't know because he didn't tell me. And I didn't ask him. But I don't mind giving money to preachers of the gospel that preach the truth.
Amen.
Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I've used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. He said, I'm not teaching this so you'll give me a better offering.
That's right.
I already made up my mind what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to work as long as I can and do the best I can. If you give me enough money, I'll quit working for a while and just be full time. But then when that goes away, I'm coming back to it. And I'm not doing this just to raise my salary. He said, you're not going to stop my glory and I'm going to shove it down your throat.
That's right.
That's Paul. I sort of like him.
Amen.
It were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void.
Amen.
Verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. You think about that a little bit. This man is not preaching for money. This man is not preaching even as a profession.
That's right.
This man's preaching because he has a burden.
That's right.
He has a necessity.
That's right.
I cannot go without preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Somebody asked Billy Graham one time about preaching. He said, if you can do anything else, do it. If you don't have to preach, don't worry about it.
That's right.
But if God's put a call on you, if God has said, I want you to preach the gospel, you're my man, then you can't do anything else.
Right.
If you have to be a farmer to eat it or take care of your kids, or if you have to drive a bus or teach school or be a policeman or whatever you might have to do to make your living, to get a little money to pay the few bills and a little bit of gas and put some food in there and pay a doctor bill for your kids every once in a while. Well, you do whatever you have to do. That has nothing to do with your preaching. But what a shame if you have a God-called preacher and you don't have a burden to support him well. That's shame. You'll be ashamed. And one of these days, at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to say, what did you do with all that money I gave you? Oh, by the way, he gave you what you got.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I tell you what, you wouldn't be breathing without him today. You wouldn't be able to get fat without him today. You wouldn't be able to pay for that gas without him today. Wow. Aren't you blessed?
Yes.
Do you know how many people know what you know? A lot of people don't. What about in your acquaintance, in your family, in your extended family? How many of them are good, solid, believing Christians that have the peace that a born-again child of God has with a Bible in his hands, been taught to believe it? What a blessing.
Amen.
What a blessing. He said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I can't afford to not preach. You know, sometimes I will be in a situation and they didn't call me there to preach, and nobody wants to hear anything from me. And yet, I just can't keep quiet. You ever been there? I'm going to get in trouble with this. I know I'm going to get in trouble with it. But I got to open my mouth anyway. Why? Because I feel a necessity. I feel a burden. When I was pastoring Southwest Baptist, not close to Southwest High School, they invited me to preach the, what do they call it?
Baccalaureate
services. Ooh, some people got hot. They said that was just too plain. Well, I tell you what, that's one group of kids that heard how to be saved.
That's right.
I never got invited back. But I took my one shot. I wasn't going there for a recurring date. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, hey, we even got to do it sometimes against our will. Have you ever had to do that? I have. I don't want to, Lord. No, I really don't. I just like to keep my mouth shut. Sometimes I want to just be quiet, and somebody comes up to me, and they want to talk. And the way they want to talk is they want to ask me questions. They want me to be included in the talking. That's when I'm doing it not willingly. I just like to be quiet. Leave me alone. But they're not going to leave me alone. So I just, okay, you asked for it. Sure you want the answer? That's what he's saying here. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Even if I don't particularly feel like it, I don't want to do it, it's not my day. God's given me a dispensation. God's given me a job to do. He's given me a certain time period and say, use it.
That's right.
So sometimes you have to do it that way. I think the greatest revival that I ever read about was with a reluctant prophet. He did not want to go and preach to those fish worshipers. No, 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 no. And man, he didn't even give them a gospel message.
That's right.
All he preached was judgment.
Yeah.
40 days, it's going to fall. I'm telling you, God's judgment's coming down. The whole place, including the king, repented.
Yeah.
And the whole city was saved for 167 years.
Right.
Before it was finally destroyed. A dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. I've got a reward. It may not be money. I may not have very good money. But I'll tell you what my reward is. I'm preaching the gospel without charge.
That's right.
Amen. He said, I'm proud of that. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant at all, that I might gain the more.
Amen.
Interesting thought. I won't go into it right now. I don't have time to finish it. But we'll look at just the first part of it here. You know, some people only fit with a certain group of people. And other people can just fit with anybody. And we need to be a little bit like those that can just fit with anybody. If the guy's rich and fancy and got real expensive clothes and a big fancy car and got plenty of money, you don't have to blow him off just because you're not that way. Or if the guy comes in here and he's a little dirty, been working, he doesn't smell too good, hadn't had a bath in a while, you don't need to blow him off either because you just don't know. You just don't know. You don't know who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved. I have really been surprised in my life. I have walked into some situations and I thought, boy, this is ready. It's just right there. Just a little bit. And they're going to get saved. Never did make it. And I walked in some other places and I'm witnessing to this person for 3 hours and they never get saved. And the wife in the other room listening gets saved.
Amen. That's right.
Woo! She got saved. And she's waiting for me to get through with her husband so she can tell me. You don't know.
That's right.
You just don't know. And you got all sorts of people. You got high and mighty people. You got people in bars. When I was young, I used to go into the bars and even preach in the bars. And I witnessed to many a bartender. I've even found some bartenders that don't drink. They're bartenders, but they don't drink. You don't know. You don't know whether that rich man that's been living the high life all of his life, he might be very lonely and miserable, and he might need something.
That's right.
And he just might respond to the gospel, and it might change his life, and no telling who he'll touch. And you don't know, down at the rescue mission, some old boy is going to walk in there one night, and he's going to hear the word of God. And he's going to get saved and changed and become a gypsy smith. Preaching all over.
That's right.
Or while you're preaching on the street, a drunk baseball player will come by and he'll be a Billy Sunday.
That's right.
You don't know. You don't know. You have no clue.
That's right.
So, I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more.
Amen.
Well, I guess about 4 months from now, I'll come back here. Lord bless you.